Now,
the rest of the story. In 1868, public enemy number one was the train. Really? Railway accidents had increased to catastrophic proportions. Loss of goods, loss of life, and here's why. The primitive braking system used then involved putting a man in every second car to apply his particular brake. Under ideal conditions, it took hundreds of yards for the train to grind to a halt and in an emergency. Well, you can imagine. Now, George traveled in his business. Concern for public safety as well as his own inspired George to come up with a better idea, a better way to bring a train to a safe stop. One day, George read a magazine article about how some Italian engineers had used a compressed air drill for boring a tunnel through the Swiss Alps. Now, this gave him the idea of applying compressed air to actuate all of the brakes on a mile-long train simultaneously. Well, George eagerly approached railway tycoon Cornelius Vanderbilt with his idea. But Vanderbilt said engineers all over the world had been working on an efficient braking system for trains, that George's idea was no more nor less crackpot than any of the others. It simply would not work. Of that, Vanderbilt was certain. Well, George went elsewhere. And eventually, he was able to persuade skeptical Pennsylvania railroad officials to give his design a working trial, a test run. And if his new air brake failed, he promised he'd stop pestering them. The test would set for 3 months hence. Personally, George manufactured the braking system. Personally, he installed it on one of the Pennsy's less important trains, and a test was arranged to take place on a little-used suburban track. Railroad executives and directors would go along for the demonstration ride. On that day, the train pulled out of the station. George asked the engineer to wide open the throttle, 40 miles an hour. The first few minutes on the way to the test area were uneventful, but then, suddenly the engineer spotted a man with a horse and cart crossing the track ahead of them. With no time for a whistle warning to clear the tracks, the heretofore untested experimental air brake had to be tested then and there. Well, the VIP passengers were tossed forward in their seats, steel on steel screamed, but within seconds, the train stopped, and just 3 feet short of the horse-drawn cart. For a long moment, nobody said anything. Nobody had to. On any other day, a life would have been lost, blamed on another unavoidable accident, but George's air brake had worked, and however unexpectedly, a man's life was saved. With that realization, the Pennsy officials aboard erupted in a happy cacophony of congratulation. The value and the efficiency of George's invention was now beyond dispute. The following year, a company was formed to manufacture and distribute what was called the air brake, the greatest safety device in the history of railroading, and the countless lives thereafter saved are a proper tribute to a most uncommon man. You see, George himself could well have retired right then, but he did not. Instead, he went on to build an empire in his name, an empire which lasts unto this day, a corporate symbol fulfilling the promise he made more than 100 years ago. For his name was George Westinghouse. And now you know the rest of the story.